On the cross of Calvary, it was sin that held him there, not his sin but mine.
Ooh, sin binds and sin holds, it condemns our common souls.
Only Jesus has control.
Thank you, Brother Cavanaugh and family. And I have known Brother Cavanaugh, ever since I got saved. And he was one of the first representatives from the church to show up at my house after the initial contact. And I appreciate him. We go back a long ways, good friendship. And I appreciate the song this morning. I want to thank every person here that's visiting with us. Today is what we call Family Sunday, and it is an emphasis on family today. We asked our members to do their best to get as many of their family members as they could to the service today, and if you're here and as a guest of one of our members, we're so grateful that you're here, and God bless you, and thank you for being here on this Super Family Sunday here at Trinity Baptist Church. Now, well, that is kind of our theme for the day. I want to stick right along that theme and talk to you this morning about the focused family. So I want you to take your Bible, if you would, go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter number 18, we're going to read just a few verses here, verses 17, 18, and 19. All right? The focused family. Would you stand with me together this morning? Gracious. Genesis chapter 18. That's all right, I'll yell it out here in a minute. Genesis 18, verse number 17, we're going to pick right up talking about Abraham. The Bible says, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Now I want to use verse number 19 as kind of our focal point this morning, and I want to speak to you about the focused family, because it seems that Abraham was focused, and God knew that he was focused. And if you'll notice there, it says that he would command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. You know, that's the desire of every Christian family. Their desire is that their entire family, mama and daddy and children, would follow and keep the ways of the Lord. Father, would you bless our time this morning? We're so grateful to be here. And Lord, on this Family Sunday here at our church, I want to be a blessing and an encouragement. Lord, it's so important that we get focused, that we make clear, that we bring into clear vision exactly what the will of God is for our home. We do pray now this morning that you'd stir our hearts concerning our home and our family. In this day, we need you more than ever, and we'll certainly give you the glory and praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. And you can be seated. I've chosen the focused family this morning simply to say that if we're going to focus on the thing that is very dear to us and very important to us, then we're going to have to look at our family. That word focus just simply means to adjust the settings to bring in to a clear image. Now, you know as well as many of our folks here in our church do that I enjoy hunting. I own quite a few sets of binoculars. Sometimes those things aren't set exactly like they need to be. Sometimes I'll pick those things up and I'll look, and either the image is too close or too far, and I have to adjust the settings on those binoculars to bring into view a clear image of what I'm looking at. Now, if we're going to be, and our family is going to be what God wants it to be, we're going to have to focus. We're going to have to bring the things that are important to our lives into a clear image and line it up with the Word of God. You see, there's probably not been a day and time in history where the family has come under attack more than it has today. You see, the roles of the authority of parents within the home have been blurred by secular, humanistic educators. You see, the sacredness of a God-ordained marriage between one man and one woman is under attack today by perverted, lascivious, and the Bible calls them beasts of special interest groups. Do you ever think that you would ever live in a day and time where you had to define what marriage is? Have people lost their mind? Now the reason being is because they're not focused. The focus is totally out of whack. The settings are out of whack. Now we're having to define that marriage biblically is between a man and one woman and one man. Children are being lured into a line of thinking through secular education that's promoting rebellion against parents and encouraging sexual expression and preaching situational ethics. No wonder we're in a mess today, because we're out of focus on the family. You see, our families and our homes are under attack from every side. Let me tell you why I believe that. I believe the devil has now so set his attack plan to attack the family because he understands that the disintegration of family values ultimately leads to hindering the progress of the local church and evangelizing souls. You've heard me say it many times, our church is only as strong as the families that make up that church. And if we don't strengthen our homes, if we don't strengthen our families, then ultimately the church suffers and ultimately the evangelizing of the world suffers. You see, when we're going to, things are so out of whack today. We're so out of focus. My question to us as a church today and us as a believer today is, when are we going to stand up and say to these reprimanded brute beasts who are attempting to destroy the fabric of the family and to destroy this nation, when are we going to stand up and say, enough is enough? Enough is enough. When are we going to start standing on the street corners and protesting peacefully the perverted decisions of our elected officials? You see, I don't live very far from the church here, and every Saturday that I leave the church, I head home down the road to Six Flags, and probably every Saturday that I can remember this year, I pass a group of people standing on the side of the road out in front of a pet land. They've got their dogs. They've got their cats. They have their signs. And what they're doing is they're standing out in front of pet land protesting peacefully their disagreement with some of the practices that Petland is practicing. They believe that they're doing something that's contrary to their desires and their direction, and yet they're willing to stand up every Saturday and protest. And here we are in America today, and we won't even stand up for family values. We won't even confront a teacher or a principal over teaching sex education to a 10 or 12-year-old. And we'll have people go out and hold a sign up for an animal. And we won't even speak up for our own children, for our own values in this country. And whether you know it or not today, if you're here and you're not familiar with history, let me tell you something. This country was built on the principles of the Bible. It was built on the foundation of the Word of God. That's the reason in America we already have a God. We already have a Bible. We don't need anybody else to bring in a Bible or another God to us. We already have it and have had it. But may I say to you that we're as much to blame as anyone if we keep our mouth shut and say nothing. Just as we're to blame if we keep our mouth shut about the gospel, we're just as much to blame. You may be asking yourself, well, preacher, then is it possible for a family to be what God intended it to be in 2010? You still have a Bible, don't you? Truth is truth, is it not? Are we not admonished in Scripture to buy the truth and sell it not? We have a Bible. We have truth. We have instructions of what God desires the family to be. Of course, we can make our family what God wants it to be, even though the winds of perversion are blowing stronger than ever. Even though that so many have access to so many perverted things today than in the history of the world. You see, each family has a personal responsibility before God Almighty to groom their home into what God intended it to be. Now, I want to give you quickly here this morning before I get right into what the basis of the message, and that's this. If you're not familiar with the Bible, there is a divine order that God lays out in the Bible. It's very simple. God first, family second, church third, and everything else after that. There's a divine order in which things are laid out in the Scriptures. And sometimes we as believers, we get so focused on other things. And may I say to you that there's just as many people that are losing their families inside the church as there is outside the church. So how's that happen? It's just that happens. Our focus seems to be a little different. And if we're not careful, we'll get so focused on what's happening in our ministry or what's happening right in front of us that we forget about the most important thing. That's God and family. God and family. You see, some of the problem may be that we've lost sight of our priorities. We're picking up the binoculars of life and we're looking through those and it's unclear. We're not seeing focus. We're not seeing a clear image. Now what I'd like to do this morning, you're going to need your Bible. I'd like to take a look at three families this morning in Scripture. and make an application about these three families that I think will help us here on this Family Sunday here at Trinity Baptist Church. The first one I want to look at we'll find in the book of Acts. So if you'll turn over with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 25. You'll recognize the story. Paul and Silas now have been put in prison in Philippi for preaching and teaching the gospel. And the scripture says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Now, there's a whole message in that in itself. You understand these guys are in prison? They're not just in prison, they're in the inner prison. It looks pretty hopeless. You ever been in a place in your life where you think, man, this whole thing looks hopeless? Have you ever thought about praying and singing? Have you ever thought about lifting up the Lord in that situation instead of complaining about your situation? Have you ever thought about getting God involved in your circumstances instead of complaining about the situation and circumstances? See, the thing about it is, God may be putting you through an exam and you're not doing very well in that exam. We all know in the Christian life, if you don't pass it, you got to take it again. I kind of liked in school passing it the first time. Acts chapter 16, verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, by the way, which was the custom, the Roman custom, if prisoners escaped under your watch, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Why is it my soul winning visits that easy? Why is it that when I talk to someone, 9 times out of 10, they never ask me, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" But in this case, the situation dictated to this man, "What must I do to be saved?" Obviously thought they were all going to perish. And they said, very simple, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and if your house does, thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now, did you notice the story here about the Philippian jailer? It seems that it started with Daddy. And Daddy is confronted with a situation, an earthquake, and it looks like all is lost. So you know what Daddy does? He makes up his mind, which is a very intelligent decision. "I need to be saved." Isn't it amazing that we wait to the last second? We wait until the circumstances seem so grim and so dark before we ever realize, you know what? I need the Lord. I need to be saved. This first family that I want to look at this morning, the family of the Philippian jailer, represents the saved family. The saved family. You see, before you can experience the joy of the Lord, salvation must come to your house. You see, Daddy and Mama, you're held personally accountable by God Almighty for the salvation or not of your children. You see, salvation's importance must be emphasized. It's more important than your stinking job. It's more important than your hobbies. It's more important than Little League or Pee Wee football or any of that. You have one chance at one soul. One! Don't blow it. Don't blow it. You see, obviously this Philippian jailer, not only did he get born again, he also realized that, you know what, if this is my condition, my wife is in this same condition. My children are in this same condition. My servants are in this same condition. Did you notice in Scripture that the Scripture is very plain that says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, they were baptized and believing in God with all his house. All his house. Listen to me. The very first thing this morning, don't miss it. Don't miss it. On this family Sunday, you need to be a saved family. You need Christ. You cannot understand this Scripture without Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost of God. You will not understand the teachings of this church without the Scripture and without the Holy Ghost of God. You see, you will miss out on a whole bunch of things if you miss salvation. Because let me say this morning, dear friend, if you miss Jesus, you've missed everything. If you miss Christ this morning, all is lost. All is lost if you die without Jesus Christ. You see, we neglect a lot of things in our life. Please don't neglect your soul. Daddy, if you're here this morning, you take the lead. This Philippian jailer did. Don't wait till it comes down to a moment to where there's an earthquake in your life and all of a sudden you've boiled it down. I need to make a decision, and I need to make a decision about my soul now. Don't wait till then. You have an opportunity this morning to come to Jesus Christ and your house and everybody in your home, mama and kids. It's your responsibility. Let me plead with you this morning before you leave. Be a saved family. Come to Christ. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Boy, I tell you, you cut your TV on, you cut your radio on, you pick up a magazine and read in the magazine, isn't it amazing how it's all about individuality, isn't it? It's all about our achievements. It's all about whether I can hit a ball, throw a ball, kick a ball, run faster than anybody. But what is it going to matter if you gain all of that and lose your own soul? You need to be a saved family. This Philippian jailer figured that out. But you know where it started? It started, it seems to be, with Daddy. Daddy came to Christ, and then all his house came to Jesus Christ. But wait a minute, they not only believed, they were baptized after they believed. You see, you're still not in God's perfect will for your life if you're here this morning and you've been saved and you haven't been scripturally baptized according to the Bible, which pictures the death, burial, and resurrection, which means down under the water, the burial, out of the water, the resurrection. There's a way that we get baptized. Now, we need to be a saved family. Let me show you family number two. Just turn over, if you would, one book here, or a couple of books, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. So we have to start with the foundation. The foundation is salvation. You've got to be a saved family. If not, you're going to miss out on so much, so much. Not just the salvation of mama and daddy, but mom and daddy, it's your job to make sure that every one of them little kids are saved. And may I throw something out here and while you're turning there? Don't hit the panic button about your kid when they turn 2 years old and they say, Jesus, Jesus, oh, he's ready to be saved. Don't hit the panic button and try to get your child saved at 18 months. Or 2 years. But you know, in some cases, it may be 6 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old. We got to be careful now because, listen, a person is not going to come to Christ unless they, first of all, understand the facts of how to be saved. It's more than you just telling them the facts. They've got to comprehend the fact that they're a sinner and that they're lost without God. I'm saved because mom and daddy told me I was. I don't think that's going to fly in the presence of Jesus. Not going to fly. It's a personal receiving of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's look at another family quickly. Verse 13. Paul writing says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." He says, "I beseech you, brethren." Now I want you to notice this. He says, "You know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Now I want you to notice the next verse here. "That ye submit yourselves." Still in connection with the previous verse, making the connection that Stephanas and his house not only had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, but had submitted themselves. You see, this family, the family of Stephanas, represents the submissive family. It's the submissive family. It's the family that surrenders to the power and lordship and will of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Stephanas and his home, the scripture says, an interesting word the Bible used was addicted themselves. They were hooked on Jesus. They were hooked on the things of God. They were hooked on the plan of God for raising children, for having a good marriage, for serving God. They were hooked on it. You see, there needs to be a family will, not my will, but thine. Not my will, but thine. You see, there's a perfect will for the family. There's a perfect order that God lays out in Scripture. It's daddy leads, mama submits, children obey. Let me say that again. I don't know if you got that. It's daddy leads, mama submits, children obey. You say, "But that's not what so-and-so said." I don't care what so-and-so said. That's what God said. And if it's going to work, it's going to work God's way. He said, "Well, I've tried it the other way and it's worked." Okay. Isn't it amazing how we define things according to our own definitions? It's what I call the Bill Clinton philosophy. You define your own terms. You see, there needs to be a family will. Not my will, but thine. You see, the family, daddy, mama, kids, need, as Scripture tells us, we need to have the mind of Christ. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You know what kind of mind that is? That's a humble mind. But you also find out that it says he made himself of no reputation. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. Way too many of our young people put way too much emphasis on reputation. How are people going to see me? How are they going to view me? Are the kids going to make fun of me? Listen, and they go on, on and on and on. Listen, mamas and daddies, if we do the job right and we keep the focus on the main thing, we can help our children understand that there's something more than the approval and the praise of men. There's something more important than the approval and praise of your peers. What about Jesus' approval? Where is he getting lost in all this? Are we not concerned about what Jesus thinks? There needs to be a family will. Parents, you've got to lead and practice this spirit. But there also needs to be a family walk with God. A relationship with Jesus Christ. Now I'm just going to throw something out here real quick, parents. I want you to listen to me. You say, "I don't know, Brother Todd. My children just don't seem to take God seriously." Well, it may be because mamas and daddies, we don't take God seriously. If you want your kids to believe in a real God that does real things in people's lives, that really saves souls and really blesses, then you know what? He's going to have to be real to you, mom and daddy. If he's not real to you, he ain't going to be real to your kids. He ought to be so real to you that when you go to Walmart, mama, with those little kids out in Walmart, to say, "Kids, let's stop here just a minute. Let's ask the Lord for a parking place up front, so mama doesn't have to walk so far." And you say, "Lord, give us a parking place, and let me tell you what them little kids are going to be doing. They're going to be looking for a parking. Mama, look, look, there's one right there. His lights, his backing lights are on. Go up there and put your blinker on." You ever been there? And I'm sitting here for 10 minutes behind somebody with their blinker on, and I'm thinking, you can't turn there, man. And I look up there and they're waiting for a guy 10 cars down to come out so that they can get that parking place. You say, that's stupid. Listen, God needs to be that real. He needs to be that real to you, mom and dad. If you don't make Him real, He's not going to be real to the kids. There needs to be a real walk with God. Hey, when God answers prayer, glorify God. Lift the Lord up and say, kids, you're not going to believe it. Come here. Look what God did. And you open that envelope up. You said, you remember we were praying for this particular amount of money. I want you to look what God did and make every one of them little kids look at that check. What does that say? Oh, mama, daddy, I can't believe it. What does that say right there? Boy, isn't God good? Isn't God good? Kneel down with your kids, put your arms around them, begin to pray, and thank God. I'm just saying, He's got to be real. If He's not real to us parents, He'll be real to the kids. He'll just be some God like all the rest out there in oblivious somewhere. You see, there needs to be a family will. There needs to be a family walk. There needs to be a family way. There ought to be a way to do things. We need to teach our children ethics. Not situational ethics. We don't lie. If it profits us, we tell the truth, even if it does not profit us. There's a way to do things. We don't tell our kids to lie and tell somebody we're not home when we are. We've lost our mind. You know what the problem is? We're out of focus. There needs to be a family way. You see, that's God's desire. Giving God the glory. Well, let's look at one more family. Take your Bible, if you would, Joshua 24. Joshua chapter 24. The Philippian jailer family represented for us this morning the saved family. Everybody, before you leave today, you need to make sure, daddy, that you're saved, mama, that you're saved, all the little ones are saved if they understand how to be. They represent the saved family. The house of Stephanus represents the submissive family. Let me give you one more quickly. Joshua 24, verse number 15. Joshua was dealing with the issue that a lot of the people of God were looking toward other things to serve. And we come to verse 15 in Joshua 24. And Joshua says this, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." Now wait a minute, before I read the last part of that verse, do you understand? God gives you a free will. And He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You got a choice? Hey, look around. What have these other gods done for you? Show me how they've blessed your life. Show me how they've cared for your family. Show me how they have done all these wonderful and great things. He said, you can choose whoever you want to. He says, but as for me and my house, my family, and everybody under my authority, we will serve the Lord. Circle the word serve, because Joshua's house and family represents the serving family. The serving family. He says, as for me and my house. Now wait, stop, time out just a minute. Daddy, did you know who took control of this? Did you see who took control and made the decision? We're serving God. Daddy made the decision. He says, kids, but daddy, you don't understand. Oh yeah, I understand. We're serving God. We're serving Jesus. We're going to church. And you're going to go to church and you're going to smile the whole time you're at church. Daddy made the decision to do that. Listen to me this morning, daddies. Please listen to me. This country is in a famine of daddies who lead their families. We're in a famine today. Joshua represents the serving family. Can I say to you this, church? We need to have family worship. That's the reason there might have been one or two times that I can remember. And of course, I don't remember a lot of things. that during a worship service that my children did not sit with me. The reason I did that is because I wanted it to be a family-oriented worship. You say, but there's nothing wrong with my child sitting with a friend across the auditorium. I didn't say that. I'm just saying, listen, sit together, pray together, read together, labor together. Hey, listen, how many times have we heard the old saying that, listen, the easiest way to conquer is to divide? And listen, I've got children from 30 to 15. And the last time I checked the Bible, the Scripture says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Now, it's my job as a parent to follow the Scriptures and use the Scripture way to drive it far from them. But you know, when they're young, you're in the process of doing that. And when they're away from your sight, sometimes they may not be doing anything evil, but they may be talking while the preacher's talking. They may have a cell phone diddling with a cell phone while the preacher's preaching. You see, we need to understand that we need to serve together. It's a family thing. And listen, Satan is so wise that he will fragment us in any way that he possibly can. Not only must there be family worship in serving God, may I say, we need to be a family witness. Hey, mamas and daddies, I'm all for, I want your kids to come soul winning, but let's start coming with them. Let's start taking our children ourselves. Let's start going with them and knocking doors with our children and talking to people about Christ. You see, we need to be an outward witness for souls. But may I say to you, we also need, there needs to be an inward witness. There needs to be a testimony for Christ as well. We need to go together. Go door to door. Go pass out tracts together. Do something to be a family witness. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you a good thing you can do as a family. I got signs left here by one of our church members that moved to Croatia. I got about 40 signs that are sitting over here just waiting for somebody, a family, to come pick up and go stand on here in the corner. Hey, listen, you go stand right down here next to the Petland people. They'll probably welcome you. And go stand down here with a sign, and all it says is, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Listen, folks, you don't even have to say anything. You just hold a sign up. Man, I drive by these folks driving down here by Petland, and man, they're waving. If you don't believe me, drive by them on Saturday. Little dogs out there. I mean, everybody's saying hi. Now, let me say the last thing this morning. Not only does Joshua's family represent the serving family, there needs to be family worship together, family witnessing together. Let me say this. There ought to be a family watch. Every family in this church ought to be looking for somebody or to do something around the church, some way to serve. Looking for needs to be met. Watching for people in our church that are hurting, that are wounded today, and their wounds need to be bound. Watching for opportunities to encourage someone. There ought to be a family watch. You ought to put your children on alert. Be alert. Look, watch. What are we looking for, Mom and Daddy? Just look and watch for needs. Look and watch in case maybe you've got a little friend in your class. Maybe their grandpa passed away. Or maybe, listen, and they come home and say, "Mama, Daddy, did you know that in my class, little Johnny's granddaddy passed away?" "No, I didn't know that." And you know what? Get together with that child and do something special for that kid. I'm just saying, you know what we don't need to do, folks? We need to be a serving family. Serve together. There needs to be a family watch. But before that, needs to be a saved family, a submissive family, a serving family. You see, God's for the family, God's for the home, God's for blessing your home. But you know what, folks? He just simply wants us to do it His way. His way is the right way. His way is the only way that's going to be profitable. And if we decide that we're going to veer from God's way, remember there's only two ways taught in the Bible, your way and God's way. And normally when I find out people following their way, normally it never ends out, turns out real well. But I always find out people who follow God's way, it seems to always turn out exactly like the Scripture says. And God's way for you this morning, first of all, is to be a saved family. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you this morning say, "Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm